Hey guys, nice to see you again. This is Richard Sachs, your host on Lost Arts Radio. Getting things adjusted here to go for our quick little time here to go over some things from the previous week, and we're actually streaming this about 4 days early this week, so we're drawing from some events of the last day or two. And if you're seeing this at the regular time, at least you'll still have it available because it is being recorded. But Doug's going to be traveling, so we're doing this a little bit early so we make sure and still get to talk to you. And I thought this week it's appropriate that we're doing it today because we just had a huge event in California. If you're staying up to date on things like that and some of the guests that we've had on the Sunday show, then you know that there's been a bill passed originally in California, 2015, I think it was, that parents had to have their kids injected with whatever the government suggested, against all rules of informed consent and numerous foreign treaties and things like that that the U.S. is signatory to, saying that you had to have unknown mix of chemicals injected into your kids, whether you believe in it or not. And it took away the religious exemption, and they don't have a philosophical exemption anymore there. And so there were a few kids still getting medical exemptions from their doctors. All the kids were being damaged, according to Dr. Molden and other people who really knew what they were talking about on this. Dr. Molden, a brain specialist, there was a really interesting archive on Lost Arts Radio with him, so you might want to go back and look that up if you get time. It's still on all the major platforms because I guess they figure not very many people realize the value of it. They don't need to censor it yet, but I recommend that you watch that if you're interested in this subject, as the censorship is really cracking down. But anyway, as I was saying, all the kids were being damaged, all the adults can get this non-informed consent treatment of things being injected through hollow needles into your body. They all get damaged. It's not a risk, it's a damage. But there are a few that notice the damage really obviously and right away, and their doctors warn the parents, don't have this done to your kids again. And they give them what's called a medical exemption. Well, there's a senator that's basically working for the drug companies in California, and many of them are, but this one's really out front about it and proposed a bill that they basically take away all the medical exemptions because they won't let the doctor have them in his or her discretion anymore. They send them to a bureaucracy in Sacramento to be denied. And it's really criminal, and it's against the Fourth Amendment. It's against all kinds of agreements, and nobody does anything about it. But there's a lot of protest, and I guess it was yesterday on the steps of the Capitol, they had a lot of protesters in Sacramento, and one of them was somebody you might have heard of. His name is Robert Kennedy Jr. He's the nephew of a recent great president, John Kennedy, and son of Bobby Kennedy, the attorney general, who got assassinated too. And he was explaining that this is completely criminal action on the part of the California government, which is really too bad. It's certainly not the only example of that kind of behavior in California government. They're doing all kinds of things that are, you know, sanctuary cities and state, and I mean, the list goes on and on and on, ways that they're just completely betraying the people that they supposedly represent. But the speech by RFK Jr. was great, and I just sent it in to Doug to be posted on the site, so it should be there soon if it's not already. And really, Robert Kennedy Jr. is doing some great work. He originally was working against the mercury and the injections they were giving people, and it seemed like his full focus was on that, and he thought everything was about the mercury, which obviously, you know, unless you're some kind of a criminal psychopath, you don't ever inject mercury into people, animals, or anybody else. It's a cell killer. It loves to kill brain cells right away. It kills all kinds of nerve cells. It does massive other kinds of damage in the body. It was, again, a criminal campaign to put it in people's mouths. You know, the original ADA was formed mainly to defend that practice. I mean, the corruption is so deep, it's really incredible. And California is a fantastic state. In many ways, it's my favorite place. And just incredibly beautiful as far as nature goes, but it's being for some reason targeted for destruction and corruption. And you know, before I started Lost Arts Radio with Doug, I was a co-host on Geoengineering Watch Radio, and we had access to watching the planes blocking the incoming storms that were coming in off the Pacific Ocean. And in the old days, when I lived there in the 50s and 60s, and we used to watch the storms come in just really regular. And every winter it would be storm after storm off the Pacific, either the South Pacific or the Alaskan area of the Pacific. And you could really count on it being right on schedule. Then when the geoengineering really got bad in the early 90s and after that, the storm, they decided to target California for a multi-year drought. And we watched on radar on the charts as the planes came in right in front of the storms and blocked them and made the rain stay aloft in the air, the water vapor, and not drop on the land until it was two-thirds of the way or all the way across the U.S. and caused floods later on. It was the early part of climate disruption so that they could show people that the climate change was happening in case global warming didn't pan out or global cooling that they were worried about before that. At least they could prove disruption and really violent climate change, which is happening, and it's man-made. They're right about that. It's just primarily from the program to do that, which is called geoengineering. And California was a primary target to be really damaged by the prolonged droughts that we watched them cause. It wasn't a theory. It was obvious. And they've been doing that all over the world. Massive global programming that nobody in any government that I know of will talk about. Certainly not in the United States, nobody in Congress, none of the presidents, nobody from either party will say anything about it. And maybe it's because they don't want to be, you know, demonized as a completely crazy person, because since the Kennedy assassination, and we'll be talking about Kennedy a little bit too, not just Robert Jr., but John, they came up with, I guess it was the FBI that came up with this phrase, conspiracy theorist, which was supposed to make you look like an idiot and be afraid to say things that were politically incorrect. And it was started by this thing they had to show that there was only one assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, who killed Kennedy, which was obviously a lie because there were bullets that hit Kennedy from at least two directions. But that was called a conspiracy theory. And if you didn't believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only one, then you were a conspiracy theorist and a crazy person and should be at least ignored, if not sent to some kind of institution. And to make sure that nobody could really find out from Lee Harvey Oswald what happened and how he was brought into the whole thing as a victim in many ways too, they had him killed right away. And, you know, really deep corruption all through the power structure. And I'm not saying this to discourage anybody, but if you want to solve a problem, it really helps to know what the problem is in a little bit more detail. And SB 276, the passage of it, getting rid of medical exemptions against informed consent, against the Nuremberg Code, against the Fourth Amendment, against all kinds of treaties and laws that they know nobody will ever do anything about. That's not an isolated event, and similar things in the context of a larger agenda are going on all over the world. But if you mention that, you're a conspiracy theorist and need to be ignored or called an extremist or whatever bad name they can get to make you not talk and make people not listen to you so that nobody will seriously look into it. And all the major media is complicit in this. So as I said, the conspiracy is very broad and very deep, and I'm already going off track. I've got notes right in my hand of bullet points that I don't want to forget, and I'm already way off track here. I'm never going to get to all this stuff, but I want to get to at least the high points, the important points, and how this all fits together. So the title of the show, since we try to put a title on it too, help people who have asked for ways to tell the difference between one episode and another. This one was about the use of mind control with language. And I want to bring that into context here with the SB 276 episode that happened yesterday. So I wanted to say a few things about labels and language and how they're used to mislead us and control us and make us so vehement to restrict our own expression of, you know, free speech that will attack other people who are trying to say, no, we need free speech is like the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution by people who were had all kinds of flaws and imperfections, but they were really smart about things they put into the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, there's so many issues that come up with every one of these points, one of which is that people sometimes think patriotic type people who like freedom and really want to support their country that a constitutional republic is great and democracy is bad because the people can go crazy and a majority can vote to kill the minority and all kinds of things like that, and they're right. But that can happen with a constitutional republic too. You know, it's just fortunate in the United States that the people who wrote the current constitution were really well motivated and not perfect people or anything, but they knew about freedom. They knew about private property being absolutely essential to freedom. They knew about freedom of speech being critical to keeping any of the other rights. They knew why you had to have unabridged, uninfringed firearms rights no matter what. You don't lose your rights in an emergency. These rights are given by God. You know, God, as far as I know, doesn't send down notices of emergency, and you have your rights all the time. And the founders knew a lot about that, and they put the Fourth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, the Ninth Amendment, all these important things into the Constitution to make doubly clear that your rights are not being granted by government. So whatever country you might live in, you have all the same rights as everybody else, and especially all the ones that nobody has enumerated or thought of yet. The only enumerated powers they gave in the U.S. in the Constitution, which limits the rights of an entity, is not to people but to the government, because they say, look, this little list which we call the enumerated powers, that's the only rights the government will ever have. And so, you know, it's being turned around now. People violate their oath of office as soon as they get into office. But the intent of the original framers that they put in writing is that no government, you don't get any other rights. You can't start, you can't delegate rights you don't have. So you can't start an agency to rule over something that you're not even in charge of anyway. So most of the government agencies that were starting, that were started since the foundation of the U.S. were all illegal. And Ron Paul has brought that up, but not very many other people besides him. Anyway, I guess what I wanted to say about words and labels that they're used to mislead and control people, they're a form of mind control. And a lot of times they get people to do things voluntarily that are harmful to themselves and sometimes fatal. Certainly the new laws in California are going to kill a lot of people, mostly children. And the people, Robert Kennedy and his team, went around and visited all the offices in the Capitol in Sacramento. And he said, no, these legislators actually do know what they're doing. And some people in the modern feminist movement will say, well, that's all a bunch of evil white males. No, the females were just as bad. I mean, they've proven female equality. They can be just as horrible as males. And he went around to all these offices and they said, if you keep pushing this, I don't remember the exact words, it was in his speech that is going to be posted on lostartsradio.com. But if they said, Bobby, if you keep pushing this stuff, you're not going to have any friends left in the government. And Bobby, who's realized now that this is not all about Mercury, this is about tyranny. And he said, well, I have all my friends out here, pointing to the people in the crowds, and I don't need the kind of friends that they're offering me in government. Those guys are all monsters, and women are all monsters. And he gave a beautiful speech, and he's realizing, even on the medical level, that, well, they got caught with the Mercury, yeah, because the people who formulated the injections, and I'm trying not to get us banned immediately because it's becoming illegal to discuss this at all. I mean, not illegal in the law, but big tech, which is basically the law in the world right now as far as free speech goes, says is taking down people that even post, how can I say this and have it be acceptable, the literature that comes in the package of the things to be injected shows most of what it can do to you, including kill you, of course, in almost every one of the different formulations. And people that post that drug company paper on the social media are getting banned for that. I guess it's hate speech, right? Because it might be hurtful to somebody to say what might happen to you if you let this happen to yourself or your children. But try, you know, our time's as usual just flying by, and I'm on page 1 of 20 of my notes. But anyway, to just give an explanation of what I mean, I got to give some background, and I think I'm only going to hit the high points here. When I first got involved in medical research, it was in the 60s, mid-60s, and I was working in my father's medical research lab studying blood flow, and also a little bit later than that at Stanford, doing some things that involved laboratory animals and doing some really horrible things to them, which I had no idea at the time what the medical industry was about. Most of the animal experiments are completely unnecessary. You know, people that are defending them are saying, well, it's saving lives. Yeah, just like the injections are saving lives and the drugs that kill hundreds of thousands of people are saving lives and the GMOs are saving people from starvation. You might have heard the term safe and effective before. It might ring a bell with you. These are mind control phrases that are just things that you're supposed to memorize. You don't learn them. The doctors don't learn them in medical school. They memorize them. And there's a big difference between memorizing and learning. So anyway, I started out working with synthetic models of blood flow in the mid to late 60s. And then got into the stuff at Stanford, which involved other animals. But animals were being used unbeknownst to me at the first place, too. And, you know, the modern science people think that they're so brilliant compared to people in the past. And they say everybody before, I don't know, when I was in school, they said before the 1950s, everything was just superstition. And now we are brilliant scientists, right? So, no, the answer to most of these supposedly unknown mysteries in medicine were explained thousands of years ago accurately, and they knew how to get rid of and prevent these diseases and change aging and the whole thing. But it took me a lot of years to realize that in the bigger experiment that's being done on this planet by the people who consider themselves the global elite, we are actually the lab animals. And that's literally true. But they're not doing it to try to figure out good things. They're doing it for the fun of the experiment, similar to what was done in Germany during the war. You know, when I was working in it, it was supposedly to discover things that would be helpful. But in the bigger experiment, it's being done for the sake of pain and fear and death that they're causing. And it's really different. They're causing all that stuff on purpose. And it's because they're drug addicts, the people at the top. Not physical drugs, although they take those too. But the main drug that they're on is a drug of fear. And they're on the high of hurting other people to make themselves feel powerful. And it's very deep. Don't try to talk to them and convince them out of it. It's not going to work. There are other ways, but not that way. So they experience the personal power from hurting people and hurting us and destroying the web of life that holds together the biosphere. But one thing is the same. I mean, in the lab animal experiments from people who mean well in the medical industry and what the global rulers are doing is, you know, I and the others were unconscious that of the fact that none of the animal experiments are needed. I mean, they're just not needed. I can't think of one single one that's needed. There's enough known if we could draw on the wisdom of people who knew these things thousands of years ago. No, it would just be a bad joke that you need to do animal experiments. You don't need to do that. That's basically an admission that you're totally out to lunch and don't understand anything about health and disease or aging or life. But the thing I was going to say that's the same between what we were our attitude and the attitude of the global rulers hurting us for the sake of destruction is that they're also ignorant, and they don't know there are deeper laws of nature to which they are not immune, and that say, if you intentionally hurt any other being, not talking about self-defense, if you just go out and hurt somebody for the sake of hurting them knowingly, there are consequences from that, not some real nasty God who's got a lightning bolt they're going to throw at you and, you know, do some terrible punishment. Your own consciousness, because of where you came from, is going to take care of that. And it's going to be an unpleasant learning experience, and these guys are not aware of it. Guys and women, I don't want to be sexist there. So at the time that I was involved in the acceptable medical research work, I had no idea what was going on in the bigger system, you know, and how the industry worked, that it was a terrible business model to actually heal people, because you don't make any more money after that. But at the levels above that, it is totally not about money at all. And they're directing what happens with the industry. So a lot of people start waking up to that. I was one of them. When serious health problems just show up unexpected and you get shaken out of your sleep state. And as a patient in the medical system at the time, some of the best doctors around, I was very slowly realizing that, I mean, this is so dumb that we don't know about this, that adding toxic chemicals to your diet, you know, and eating them, usually in little pieces, they call capsules or pills, and they call those medicine. And what they, this is where I'm talking about mind control. You think of, that's called medicine, right? Therefore, obviously, it's good for you. Obviously, you need it. It's going to cure you of everything bad. Okay, that's all the mind control part. So you brush that aside, and you say, what am I doing? What is this really? This little thing has so many milligrams of an active poison in it. Dr. Labo has been on the show and said specifically it's enzyme poisons in every medical drug that they're selling. And she's in touch with people developing the what they call the candidate chemicals that are going to be used in these drugs. They're poisons. They know they're poisons, and they won't put them through the licensing process unless they're really going to hurt you and cause future business. I mean, if that one thing sinks in, you're going to understand a lot. So it took me, what made me take such a long time to realize that that wasn't brilliant, and you know, it wasn't really a good idea if you wanted to actually get healthier, is to poison yourself, and then, you know, cutting out your organs and things are not that great usually either. Is that the reason it was so hard for me is that a doctor, this guy or a woman in these white coats, they usually are supposed to have a stethoscope around their neck, right? That makes them really look official. And they look kind of condescending, like you would never understand what they're thinking about, because it's just so far beyond your ability to grasp. And it's backed up by an impressive staff and a very expensive, fancy complex of buildings. In the case of where I was going, incredible hospital. Full of super expensive high-tech equipment that must mean that these guys are so smart, and supported by everything that I heard from authoritative scientists on television every day, all of which just is, all the science on everything is settled. And when they change it to something else and say they were wrong, well, now it's really settled, you know, and complaining about it or questioning it is like blasphemy. And all of them said that eating poisonous chemicals, medicine, was brilliant, and it was necessary in order to regain health. And in fact, it's based on cutting-edge medical science, so questioning it, I mean, you should probably be killed if you question that kind of thing, because you're obviously endangering the lives of millions of people by doing that. So how could I, as one insignificant, you know, just... person who didn't know anything, had no PhDs or Nobel Prizes or anything, ever presumed to question this kind of our unified army of authority figures telling me with like one voice what to believe if I wanted to survive and be healthy. So it's like the story that you probably know of, The Emperor's New Clothes. If you don't, you should read it. It's really good. It's an old fable. And these con artists came into a kingdom and told the emperor that they had this magic thread that they could make the most amazing clothes, and he wanted to look as fancy as possible because that would impress everybody, right? And they said, well, these threads are so fancy and amazing that only the really brilliant, conscious people can appreciate and see them. The really dumb people will not be able to see them at all. And so they demonstrated, and of course there was nothing there. And he said, well, if I admit I don't see them, they're going to know I'm the dumbest person around. So it was a completely successful program until a little kid on the side of a parade started laughing and screaming, the emperor's naked. Nobody else would admit it because they didn't want to be the stupidest person there. So why was he able to say that the emperor was naked? And this is really important. And the reason is because he wasn't brainwashed enough with programming to override what his eyes were showing him. And he was just saying what he saw. So in my case, when I was going through all this gradual evolution with the medical research and realizing what was wrong with the picture, I was really brainwashed. I had been watching television from age, really young age. I was there when they first brought out the first TVs in our neighborhood, these little black and white things, and they were like magic. And we were just watching them, like, you know, entranced by it, literally. And they all showed from the beginning that the authority figures are selfless. They only exist to help you day and night. They never want any recognition for themselves. They just love and serve you for their whole life. Whether it's a sheriff like Matt Dillon or, you know, some president in a world emergency, or this has gone on later until, you know, we had the movie, remember, Independence Day, which at the time I thought was a really neat movie. It was very well done. And it was showing that, well, for your own good, we know we have to give up sovereign separate countries, because how can we defend against the evil aliens that fly, you know, light years through galaxies to come and kill us and steal our stuff? And it's very convincing. So this is all mind control. But I wasn't a complete devotee of the religion of modern science, and I still had this problem that wasn't cured by them, and it was asking why. It started in elementary school, and I've still got the same problem. It's not cured yet. So it finally dawned on me, and I'm sorry to talk so fast, but I'm trying to finish most of this by, you know, we're half done already, and we got a lot to go through. So it finally dawned on me that, did you notice that part about the fact that you're having all these advanced treatments and you're not getting better? They're starting to cut your body up. They're giving you toxic chemicals that have the opposite effect of what they're supposed to, and you're not better and you still don't feel good. Have you, like, noticed any of that? These people who are helping you, these incredible geniuses who want you to eat poison called medicine, and then when the poison doesn't work, start cutting your body apart. That's going to end up killing you, and it might not be a really good idea to keep going along with it. So I dropped the medical system once that struck me. This was in the late 60s, and said, I'm going to either die, you know, peacefully out in nature somewhere, or I'm going to find out what's going on with health and disease. And that was like more than 52 years ago, and it worked out okay because I'm still around, and I'm way in better shape than I was in the 60s, and physiologically a lot younger than back then. But I had no idea where the investigation of health and disease was going to lead at that time. I thought, you know, I was thinking still pretty superficially, and it took me into studying, remembering and using old laws of nature that, of course, have been working since this place was created and will keep working as long as the physical level is here. And it was explained by teachers who knew about it, real health teachers, thousands and thousands of years ago. And then it led me into an exploration of consciousness, who we really are. And that word's even hard to define. It's not an intellectual awareness that you can list all these facts. It's nothing to do with that. It's that being inside you that exists with or without a body, with your body at the moment, if you're listening to this, I assume. And what is it? Who are we? You know, are we these limited, helpless, powerless, unintelligent, dependent, little insecure beings that we're told that we are, which is another form of mind control? Because if you think that, like, forget it, you know, you can't ever figure out anything for yourself, you need authority figures to tell you what to believe, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, everything else, because on your own, you're completely unable to come up with anything. You're disconnected from your source. You can't know what it was, you know, et cetera. It's the biggest and the most, in all this study, I've come across a lot of secrets that are being kept from us by the power structure. But probably the biggest of all of them, the most important, the most potentially powerful is who you actually are. Not your body, not your current skin color, whether you're male or female, or how old you are, or whether you have money, or what kind of job you have, and kids and stuff like that. Not any of that. Who you are before that and after that and aside from that. You know, who's living inside this body for a brief time for experiences in the physical world? Who is that? And who's keeping all those secrets away from us is a question that usually comes up right away. So, you know, during the latest 20 years of my research work, I also did an investigation of the global rulers, what their power structure is, where they're going, what are their purposes, what are their agendas. And I found out finally the parts that make the whole puzzle fit together, because I couldn't really understand why all these ridiculous things happening in the world. You know, why are they authorities that everybody trusts or is supposed to trust doing things that are going to kill us and them and their families too? Why would that happen? I was very confused. And how could government and corporate leaders be making so many mistakes, you know, doing things that were bad for all of us? So back when I was a university student in the 60s, I had the incredible good fortune of meeting and working with directly this great visionary naturalist named Alan Chadwick. Some of you may have heard of. He's not known by that many people. But before he became known and as famous as he did, I got to work with him. And getting to learn from him changed my life radically, because that was contrasted with when I would go to classes and learn from the teachers that were teaching what they memorized. They didn't really understand it on a deep level, which I barely understood at that moment, but they had memorized it, and they weren't as regimented as the teachers are now, which are teachers in colleges and lower education are mostly facilitators now. If they deviate from what they're supposed to say and teach, and especially condition people to believe their social beliefs and things like that, they can be fired. But back at that time, they were still kind of able to say what they thought. It was just the main core curricula was determined by powers above them. So anyway, as a result of working with Alan, who was teaching directly from his conscious connection to nature, which wouldn't have even been comprehensible to most of the professors, with a few exceptions, I became really a devoted environmentalist. I already was partly that way by the early to mid-60s, but by the late 60s, I was completely that way. I thought, wow, this is one of those obvious things I should have noticed a really long time ago, that if you have a life support system, which is nature, and it's keeping you alive and enabling you to actually do everything that you're doing, you might want to learn how it works and take care of it, right? It's not a partisan issue. It's not a left or right issue. It's just like what used to be common sense. It's not liberal or conservative, and it's just an issue of biology and nature. You take care of the ecosystem that keeps you alive, and that's just kind of bare minimum intelligence. So why are so many things happening that are destroying life all over the planet, since it's so obvious that you don't do that if you want to be able to have your physical life still happen? So when I got to the later stages of studying the power structure, which I'm still doing along with everything else, I found out that it's not a mistake. It's not a scientific oversight. It's not because we need new research or more research. It's not because we don't have the right drug or something. It's not a mystery. The people at the very top in control of what's going on know exactly what's happening. And when John Kennedy was the U.S. president, which I remember well because I was right there, and shortly before the deep state in his own country killed him, he warned in a speech that he gave shortly before the assassination. And in his words, he said, his warning was about this monolithic, in other words, unified, organized, coordinated, monolithic conspiracy that was vicious and ruthless and all-pervasive and not confined to just the United States. It was all over the world. But from other information and statements we have from him, it's clear he didn't know, really. He didn't understand how deep and malicious it really was. And it's a hard thing to understand. I don't think the current U.S. president understands it fully either, although the longer he's there and the more it attacks him, the more he understands. But it's kind of amazing how deep it goes. The word conspiracy theory is a radical understatement, as well as a mind control technique to make you drop things that you're investigating because you'll be made to look silly. But the conspiracy that JFK was talking about is actually, I found out that it's thousands of years old, and tyrannical rulers and their organizations have always tried to use language and other weapons to hide their intent and be as covert as possible so they don't get out, you know, direct resistance more than necessary. But especially since the time of Edward Bernays, the nephew of Freud that was the specialist in propaganda that worked for the government, and since the central banking has become so organized and controlled all under the BIS in Switzerland and become a worldwide enslavement scam since then, and since most of the major media is now bought and owned and totally controlled as a mouthpiece of the corporate cartel. With all those factors together, the use of language as a total tool of covert tyranny has become a really refined science, using high tech to enforce the unified belief systems and target populations like the U.S. and most of the world right now. So why are they doing this? And again, it's because the top-level rulers who are orchestrating the destruction of life on the planet are fear-based themselves. And this, at the top levels, this is not about money at all. It is about money at the corporate levels, at least a lot about money, not entirely. Some of the top corporate leaders are into the other levels as well. But it's a religious thing. It's about fear and darkness, and the weapon of control is fear, and the dark power that they actually worship in their religion is a god of fear. Fear's a really big central deal to it. It's also a major element in the conventional religious rulers that have tried to control people the same way. They always want everything dark, black, terrified. You're supposed to be terrified of God and everything else besides God. You can tell where this comes from. And the biggest fear that they have, since they're all totally, you know, built around fear, is that we might wake up and become self-aware before their project of destruction is done. And by that, I don't mean that you become just, you know, aware of what they're doing in the world. Like you look up in the sky and you say, wait a minute, high bypass turbofan engines don't put out white exhaust streams. What is that? And that's good. If you begin to understand these things, and that injecting poison into people doesn't create health, and eating toxic chemicals is not the fountain of youth and stuff like that, that's really good. But that's not the waking up I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fear of the rulers is that, see, if we wake up to those things that I just mentioned, they could still push it through and just overwhelm us by force. But waking up to who we actually are is another matter entirely. And why would that matter? I'm not talking about philosophy. I'm not saying, aha, I've got the right religion, finally, this is exactly the answer to all the existential questions and who I am and everything. I'm not saying anything about philosophy or logical, intellectual level understanding, although those are useful. I'm talking about experiential awareness of who we are. And the reason that makes any difference as opposed to a belief system is that in our forgotten natural state that I just was able to find the edges of, and I'm still really focused on opening up the rest of it, is that there are natural abilities and senses and perceptions and faculties that we had when we're in the undegraded state, and they're not dead, they're just sleeping, and they can come back. And they would make our enslavement and destruction impossible. Not just if all of us woke up, but a small critical number. And I don't know exactly what that number is, but there is a number like that. And if that number wakes up in this sense that I'm talking about with the experiential awareness of who we are, then there's a principle called resonance that Tesla was working with in terms of electrical technology. And it applies to the frequencies that are coming out of every living being. You know, it's not just cell towers that have frequencies that are so damaging and designed to hurt all life, basically. That's how they were chosen and how they're transmitted. It's to do damage. It's not so you can do better downloading video games. That's not really the end goal of the rulers, is to make video games download faster. There's more to it. But not all frequencies are negative. Some are healing. Some are incredibly wonderful. And the top level global rulers understand that the generation point of those positive frequencies is you. The human being is not an ordinary thing. It's this phrase, in the image of God, doesn't mean that your nose is exactly the right length and, you know, your arms are perfectly, you know, proportioned. It's a deeper concept than that, although the physical is amazing too. But the deeper concept applies to consciousness, and that all of the attributes of what we were made out of is still in each of us. And it's dormant for the most part right now, but that's not a permanent state. So setting that aside for a second, with the idea of trying to get through this in the next 10 minutes or so, how can we tell what the end goal of the global rulers is? And actually, if you can use deduction in what should be real science, which is pattern recognition and observation and testing out by deduction and induction which things would make sense, which would be contradictory, and that sort of reasoning process, it's really quite easy when you look at the programs. And what do they have in common? When you look at some of the programs that are going on that people are trained to think of as normal, but they're obviously totally not normal. Like an agricultural system that poisons the ground in order to produce food. I mean, if we don't see something wrong with that picture, then we're pretty much deep asleep, you know, and the common sense is gone. But assuming that we have some, we can look at it and say, and again, people have made this into a partisan issue, like, you know, the Republicans supposedly are all in favor of just big business and whatever makes the most money, which in some cases is true, a lot of cases actually. Chemical agriculture is a huge money maker, not for small farmers, but for giant conglomerates. And they don't want to actually learn about real farming. They just get the university ag department to recommend how many tons of a certain chemical fertilizer to put on the soil for the most pounds of what they call the crop. And it looks like food. Some of it might possibly taste a little bit like food, but it's not food at all. And it has a really terrible effect on general health and on mentality, which is perfect for the agenda. Because if you can't think straight, you're not going to be a dissenter. You're not going to cause trouble while they finish us off. And if it makes you sick, you're going to be a real boon for the medical industry, whose business model at the top, irrespective of the great medical personnel that are in it at the lower levels, who are there to actually help people. At the top, it's designed to keep you sick, which is why the violent suppression of real health information goes on. So you look at toxic agriculture as one of the agendas, and you say, okay, they're growing food and everything else in a way that destroys the microbiome of the soil, which means the plants are weak and unhealthy and they don't have their normal resistance and they get overrun by disease and insects, and then you need poison to spray on them to kill the insects, which proves that the poison is needed to feed the world, which is completely insane. And, you know, it works perfectly if your goal is destruction. If your goal is to actually grow food and have people be healthy, a big part of which is what you eat, actually, which you're not supposed to actually understand that either, then there's a lot wrong with that picture. And it's very analogous to what's going on in modern allopathic drug medicine. There, again, not to downgrade the millions of wonderful people, that many of whom I know in the medical industry that are great, with the right motivation and emergency procedures saving people's lives all the time. But as far as health and disease, it's a total disaster. And it's, again, like agriculture, it's perfectly successful in the business model of the medical industry. It's a perfect disaster in what it does to the victims, which are the patients and their families. Teaching that poisonous drugs and injecting toxins into people and cutting out parts of their body are really going to make their health great is brings up the question, who would ever believe that? And what does it mean that most of the population does believe it and is sacrificing their families and their kids and themselves to it every day? What does that mean about our current level of awareness? And geoengineering is another great example of an agenda that's blocking out sunlight. You know, sunlight, the sun was a really good thing to invent. It helps the earth a lot, unless you just want it to be a barren rock. As far as wanting to have life on the earth, the sun is a pretty important element in that. And they're blocking out the sunlight, some figures say 22-24%. Now it may be updated since then. And the spraying that's going on from the higher altitudes is poisoning the whole biosphere, and it's fueling big fires with explosive metal dust. And one of the big advantages to the people who are orchestrating it is that it's disrupting the climate, and it is exactly man-made climate change, man-made climate disruption. No question that it's going on, because it's being paid for and carried out all over the world by a large fleet of aircraft, and you can watch it. If anybody had common sense, they could tilt their head about 10, 20 degrees and look at what they're seeing, they would notice there's something not good happening. It's actually a chemical air raid over virtually every country in the world. And all the presidents and congresses and parliaments and everything are just ignoring it. Nothing going on there to see. Another example is the microwave and wireless technology and the satellites coming that'll be radiating what they call 5G radiation on every square inch of the earth if they're successful. Maybe starting already. We're just talking to Dr. Cousins about that. We'll be on the show soon, by the way, the Sunday show. Drinking water fluoridation, food processing to take really, I mean, the food they're starting with before they process it isn't that great anyway if it's grown with poison. But to further degrade it, make sure there's no life force left in it at all, which, by the way, is the major nutrient that I discovered. I mean, I didn't, what was the original discoverer? Everybody's known about it who was not totally in a coma, that's the primary nutrient in food. And in the modern food processing industry, the goal apparently is to just get rid of any trace of living energy in the food at all. Again, look up Dr. Gabriel Cousins and live food and what it does for you, and you understand that a little bit more. Energy technology based on oil and coal and nuclear plants. There's not a shortage of oil and coal like we're told, and like Michael Rupert wrote in the book Peak Oil, and that's not true. It was a mistake. But they're really dirty and inefficient energy sources. And as the work of Dr. Stephen Greer has shown, clean energy sources have been perfected at least 100 years ago and are being violently suppressed along with real information on environment and health and everything now. And now the censorship and hate speech laws, and if you say something that's a quote or right from a book or that's undeniably true, it's called a hate fact if it's not convenient for the power structure. So much of the, and I only had time to go through some of the agendas, education to shut down free thinking, border destruction of sovereign countries, disarmament of individuals that's happened successfully almost everywhere in the world except Switzerland and the United States now. Leaving it wide open for tyrants to drag you out of your house, do whatever you want, do whatever they want to you, and make you totally defenseless against all kinds of violent crime like is happening in London and cities all over the world right now, where they have really strict anti-gun laws and the crime gets way worse, and you're not supposed to notice that correlation at all. All pushing toward chaos leading to world government, mass surveillance, and as soon as they can, thought crime, which means predicting that because a computer says so, you're likely to become a criminal, so you have to be punished in advance. And what these programs and others like them have in common is the destruction of the web of life that we depend on, and the destruction of our bodies and our health and our common sense and our minds and anything that might be an irritation to the people trying to complete their agenda. And part of that control that they're using is what we talked about in the beginning of this show, which is censorship and twisted meanings of words. Words with true meanings are being censored even more right now, and people are being sent to prison for telling the truth. You know, where's Julian Assange right now? How come he's not recognized as a world hero? What's wrong with the U.S. President and Congress for not recognizing that? What's wrong with the government of the U.K.? He's in prison, and everything that he brought out was verifiably accurate and true, and people have divided themselves up into liberal and conservative, and especially the people calling themselves liberal right now are just so vicious. I mean, they were really loving Julian Assange's work when he was criticizing what was going on under Bush, but what was going on under Obama, because he exposed that too. Now they all are happy that he's in prison. It's just, it's definitely mental illness. So, and who's the guy that's one floor above Julian Assange, and they get to yell out their prison windows and communicate? I can't even name him because the censorship that we talked about is operating right now, and we talk about him on our site. But you should know very well who he is. He's another national hero, or world hero, basically. The major figure that, you know, another example, the major figure that exposed all this going on is now banned from social media. It was the first one kicked off social media, a prominent personality. I can't even mention him either for the same reason. And another thing you can tell from the list of programs that I mentioned, they destroy life on the planet and the air, water, and soil, not just the people. And so this is not a program of population reduction. That's a step, yeah, but that's not the goal. It's not to save the earth for the so-called elite so that they can enjoy what's left of when we're out of the way. That's not what's going on, guys. If you were doing that, you save the environment, you just kill the people. They're killing the environment in ways that are irrevocable. And it's that, who would want, you know, to destroy themselves along with their own planet? It's not to save it for themselves. I have good friends that are well-known all over the world that are saying how this is population reduction for the elite. It's not like that. It's the second most amazing thing I found out in more than 50 years of investigation, that the evil corporations like the ones behind SB 276 are not in charge. Killing for money and power, that's what they're doing, but they are servants of an upper class above them, top level rulers, for whom it's religious. As we mentioned, it's satanic, and it doesn't matter what you call it. It's not that that word matters. It's just that they're worshiping the cause of suffering and destruction and death for its own sake. Basically, as I've said before, they believe in the doctrine of sacrifice, where according to that, if you kill some innocent being exactly the right way and you do it by the numbers perfectly, God's going to love you and you're going to get what you want as a spiritual reward. It's going to be great. It's a totally sick doctrine, but they absolutely believe it. And now, understanding that, you can see why the use of language is a weapon, like labels. For example, labels on a product that say, like on a medical process, that say, oh no, mercury, that's wonderful. Well, they say that because it's full of aluminum, and you're supposed to be busy thinking so great that it doesn't have mercury in it. Or you see some food on the shelf that says arsenic free, yeah, that's great, it's full of, you know, nitrates or something like that. And labeling is being used to mislead, and it's also not just for poisons and chemicals and stuff. It's labels on us, like a group that you're supposed to identify, liberal or conservative or right or left or Republican or Democrat. Those are just to waste your time and to send you off on sidetracks and make you fight with the other group. The humans really have common interests that are applying to everybody, and fighting over details of that and misunderstanding what we're fighting about in the first place is it just buys time for the power structure to finish the sacrifice. And when you're the sacrificial animal, that's not a really good plan. So what I'm saying is that every human has the potential power to turn this around. And the fact that you're being taught that you can't do anything, you're helpless, you should just give up, you know, kill yourself to save the earth, all this kind of stuff, which is basically what you're being told. Too many humans are the problem on the earth, all this. The reason they're saying that, as usual, is because the opposite is really true, that you have so much potential power not to go and kill the bad guys or anything. That's not the point. Although self-defense is a requirement in certain situations, but the solution to the overall world sickness is not killing the bad guys, it's healing everything. And the overwhelming power to do that is sitting in you right now. That's the biggest secret that is above the free energy technologies that are available and the, you know, health secrets that would reverse aging, which we know are available now, and I've worked with a lot of them. Because of where we come from, it's not like an ego issue where you think, oh, I'm really powerful, I get to do all these things. No, it's not that. It's the power that flows through you from your source that has always been immediately connected to you and is now. And the only reason it's not just flooding through us and fixing all this very unpleasant stuff that we're in the middle of is because of barriers that we put there in what we believe, and especially about ourselves and what we experience, and that can be changed. So where do you start if you want to do something with that? It's, you know, kind of a nice idea, but what if it was true, which it is? What would you do? Because our time is limited before it gets impractical to do anything about this, especially with total censorship, which could be implemented at any point and is already underway. And I'm suggesting, in my experience, and I'm just telling you, somebody who's working on this for themselves, that starting with your health and reaccessing real health information, not the medical industry poisoning, but the real stuff that's been known for thousands of years, is a good starting point. Because if you do that, and your body's comfortable and not in pain and, you know, degenerating like you're told it has to, then you can focus enough to do the inner work much more effectively and learn about the power of frequency. And that, I'm going quickly over this right now, I'm just touching on it, because we know about frequency from the cell towers, and some of us are realizing that the cell phones are damaging, and you hold it on your head and you can get brain tumors, and smart meters are very destructive. That's why they're put up, is because of the destructive power, not because they're better and because they're good for surveillance and things like that. But those are negative frequencies. You have a source of positive frequency that you're carrying around right now. And if you learn how to unblock that, learn what health things are in the way of it, then you can start to use it and allow it and invite it to flow through you. It doesn't come from us as little ego beings. It comes from your source. And that's the biggest fear of the power structure, is that you might figure out this is not just an idea. This is something that you could actually do. Words about it are not going to do anything. But real experiential use of it could change the physical world. And it could even inspire people within the power structure to have second thoughts and use their position to do something that was actually good. That would be a really good thing to do. So that's what I'm inviting anybody who's interested in to consider. And remember, because we're out of time now, we're over time actually, I got to go. But go to lostartsradio.com as soon as you get a chance, before you forget, and get on our mailing list, because obviously we're saying some things that could result in us disappearing momentarily or at any time. I've tried to be more superficial and not use any meaningful language, but I haven't succeeded, obviously, so far. So get on our mailing list. We're not using it yet, but if we get cut off from you on the normal channels, we can reach you with information that way. It's at lostartsradio.com. If you're interested in taking this further and actually getting some assistance with using it yourself, we started a project there that's accessible through planetaryhealingclub.com. Small dues support the nonprofit that we started to hopefully build a school if we can get enough money together. That's a longer term goal that I'd like to have happen right away, but we need big donors at this point, or thousands of members in the club would do it. We could start building it right away. I'd really like to do that. But, you know, at the moment, it's just tiny. If you want to be part of that, help support that, go to planetaryhealingclub.com. If you have questions about it, just tell me the questions. I mean, we're still small enough. You can reach me at richard@lostartsradio.com, and I'll read every one of them and answer as quickly as I can. Also, if you want to generally support our work to stay on the air and keep going and expand our work, what we're doing, we started a page, which hopefully people will donate to, at subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. We'll have Sunday shows with guests, inspiring people, and organizations that we want to share with you. That's it. LostArtsRadio.com. It's on all the major platforms at the moment, and it's on Brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. You want to support that platform because it's non-censoring. It's just getting going. Needs a lot more people to go to it and watch videos there. Brighteon is Brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. And again, if you have questions about what we're trying to do with Planetary Healing Club and why in the world we would charge money for people, you know, small dues to be in it. It's interactive once a week. I'm there in person every time, and we can talk about a lot more depth of these things that are not as possible to talk about on public platforms for obvious reasons. And you can ask and discuss and suggest whatever you want on that. We talk about there are no issues that are verboten. And I mean, obviously, we're not there to be nasty to each other. It's all to try to help each other and learn about healing. And that's what it's for. If you're interested in that, if that would be valuable at all to you, consider joining us, planetaryhealingclub.com. And if you see the gateway and you're not sure about it, you have a question or a comment or something, just send it to me, richard@lostartsradio.com. I'll do my best to answer you. And remember the Sunday show. It's going to be a very interesting one with a great educator on this week, a guy named Dr. Duke Pesta, who's involved in the Freedom Project Academy, because we're really interested in where kids can go and still get a actual education. And we have real good discussions going to happen with him on Sunday. So stay in touch at LostArtsRadio.com, and I'll look forward to seeing you next time. Have a good week.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on SubscribeStar.com. Just go to SubscribeStar.com/LostArtsRadio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.